past me.
Okay.
Right. Hang on, let me make you bigger so I can see you. Right, well, good evening, everybody. Thanks for popping along. Does anybody have anything to say or a question that isn't on the agenda?
This is for the public, Biz. You can.
No. Okay. Right.
Okay.
Apologies for absence. Well, that's not applicable.
No, we've got a full house.
Yeah. Has anybody got any personal produce or interest that they want to say about the agenda?
Not as far as I know, but if I do, I'll let you know as we go along. Thank you.
I think Councillor Hardy has.
Yeah, in planning, the first one, what's that one? 14 Spithead Close and Pear Tree Cottage.
Spithead.
Okay, right.
And Pear Tree.
Okay, so can we approve the minutes to the previous meeting? Zap meetings.
Well, yeah, do one at a time. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll do the first one, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So,
anybody like to propose we accept
I'll it? Propose it.
Thank you.
Seconder? Rebecca?
Second, thanks.
And the extraordinary meeting, a proposer?
Sorry, I missed that. Did you have a vote on the other one? Sorry, I'll cut out for a second. Oh, okay, that's right. But I'm having a bit. I might have to turn my camera off in a minute. Are you having a vote? That's it. Okay. Thank you.
And someone proposed the extraordinary meeting?
Please, thank you.
No, I'll second it.
The seconder and vote. Okay.
Thank you. Very much.
Thank you very much. Right, Brian.
Right, Clark's report. The Environment Officer reported that one of the older swing seats in Kerryfield's play area had developed a split. A replacement's been purchased at a cost of £55 plus VAT, which included delivery, and it's going to be installed in the next week. Excitingly, it's going to be installed by me and the chairman. We went this week, but we needed to get an extra tool bit, so luckily Barry's dug that up. So we'll be back next week, and Barry's going to just push me on it for about an hour to make sure it's safe afterwards, so that'll be good. Yeah. So we're half an hour each, Barry. We've agreed on that. Yeah. Thanks to the efforts of Councillor Hardy and the community partnership, the parish is looking very festive. The parish council has provided the tree and lights on Nettleston Green, the Ferry Bell Tree on Eddington Road opposite St Helen's Church, the large LED tree on Sophie Watson's garden, and the lights wrapped around the tree at St Peter's Church. There were some technical challenges early on that were dealt with very efficiently by NDLE, and these were delivered £104 within our budget, so that was quite good. Following on from Councillor Barry's report last week, where he mentioned potentially the co-op taking over the roadside inn, a letter was sent by me to the co-op requesting clarification of her intentions on the site, and we're yet to receive a reply. With iWalk, Councillor Gianart Davis has now been recorded as the council's deputy iWalk representative by iWalk, and I believe, Busy, you should be getting sent the emails from iWalk as well. So, as well as me, probably for
them.
Yeah, don't worry, you'll be getting them twice now. That's even better.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, you might want to. the dinghy park fence. So far, Councillor Adams and I have not had time to meet up with potential contractors to review the specification, but we'll make this a priority for the new year so we can get this done. We've got really the next 3 or 4 months to get it done, so we'll get that done as soon as we can after Christmas and make sure that everyone's quoting from the same set of specifications rather than quite a dramatic change in what the prices were. Okay, that's the end of the report. Thank you.
Okay.
Right, planning. It would be nice and easy this week. Yeah. So, firstly, delegated decisions. Westwood Skip Hire, granted. The Surprise, Seaview, granted. Land adjacent to the Wishing Well for the Pods, granted. Tesco Signs, granted. Two Pond Lane Seaview, granted. 22 Cause Avenue, granted. 45 Orchard Road, granted. Westfield, the Close Nettlestone, granted. Park Farm Bullen Road, refused. That was a proposed first floor extension, and also plot 3, Park Farm Bullen Road, refused, which was some cladding. Number 1 West Bank Gully Road, granted. Flat 1 Belvoir to High Street Seaview, granted. 33 Causes Avenue, granted. The Old Vicarage Steen Road, granted. 10 Aspen Gardens Ride, granted. Sandlands Cottage, I'm particularly pleased about this one. It was refused. This was the listed building consent for the single story rear extension. And the other one was Sandlands Cottage. Same one, proposed single story rear extension and replacement doors. That was also refused. So that's it on the delegated decisions. Planning. 14 Spithead Close, Seaview. Now this is for a proposed detached garden room stroke storage shed. Personally, I feel we should approve this. I can't see anything wrong with it at all. There's a shed there at the moment, which is just a typical garden shed. The new one is possibly a third of the size bigger, if not half the size bigger again. But I think it's very nice in keeping. I can't see any reason to object to that at all. Any thoughts?
No, I agree.
Yeah, I do. It's all right. It's an enclosed garden, so I think it's be okay.
All right. Can we vote on that one?
So yeah. Dave proposed it. Who seconded it, sorry?
I'll second it, Roy.
And Roy second. Thank you. Yeah. Unanimous for that one. Thank you very much.
Can you still hear me? I've lost the picture.
I can hear you.
Cool. Sorry, Sally.
Sorry.
I don't know what I've done. I've touched a new computer.
You're okay now, Sally.
We can see you,
Sally. We can see you.
Okay. We can see and hear.
We can see and hear.
Anyway, I'd like to abstain on all planning applications this month because I'm afraid I haven't made time to look at them.
Oh, thank you, Sally. That's fair enough. Thanks for letting me know. I didn't say
the second one, 14 Spithead Close, Seaview.
This is that's the first one, Dave.
No, you've just done that.
Swift Cottage, the Close Nettlestone. Demolition of garage and a proposed garage, replacement garage. Again, with this, I can't see that it infringes on anyone. It's slightly bigger than the old one that's there, but there's no bath going in it, no sinks and all that game. And I think it's a general improvement and we should go with it. I feel it's all in keeping. There was a substantial tree report with it, but I've been assured by reading through it that no trees are going to be damaged in the construction of the building, so I think we should support that.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I've been another look at it.
Got a proposer.
Okay, yeah. I'll propose it.
Thank you, Roy.
And a vote.
Busy said she'd second it. That's good, thank you. Carried, thank you.
All right,
the third one, final two, should be really simple. These are just retrospective. The first one is Pear Tree Cottage, Circular Road, Seaview. And it's an alteration to infill a side window. I believe they've applied for planning permission for the barn next door, which they've got. And this window looks out into the garden. It's already been done. And again, I can't see anything wrong with it and any reason to object with it. It's all in keeping.
Yeah, okay.
And it's done. So we're all in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Who's a proposer?
I don't mind.
Seconder.
Thank you. Biz, propose.
Vote.
Second.
Oh, thank you, Roy. And you're voting for. Thank you.
Yeah.
Support. Thanks. Thanks very much.
The final one is the surprise High Street Seaview. This is retention of shed. Again, this is retrospective. It's been done for over 2 years. And basically, they've removed an old galvanised shed. They've put back a shed, which again is slightly larger, but it's far more in keeping. The materials, I think, are fantastic. And there's no objections to it. So I just say we support that.
Yeah, I'll support it.
Somebody propose it.
I think Roy proposed it.
I'll propose it, yeah.
Thank you.
Seconder.
Oh, thank you, Di.
Okay. And a vote.
Thank you. Supported. Thank you very much.
Right, cheers for the planning.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Right.
Come on to reports now, and where's Reg gone?
He was there.
He's still there.
Oh, he's on mute.
If you can hear me.
Here he is.
Okay.
Can you hear me all right?
Not very well.
No?
You're in a chamber.
Hey? Yes.
Right, thank you. There's not much to report, mainly that the chevron has gone in on Bullen Road, finally, which is a good thing, I think, because Island Roads wanted the Paris Council to pay £1,400 for the put in. That included £650 maintenance for 18 years. I thought it was a bit much, since they got all the, because they're getting £7.8 million off of it every year. Mm. It's done now, and
I think it looks very good, Reg.
Thank you very much. Let's hope it saves any more accidents in what's it called? White Luke.
Made
on the Isle of Wight. That's who you
use. Yeah, made on the Isle of Wight, yeah.
It will save Robin's head.
Yeah. Anyway, that's about all. I've got some comments on a couple of items in the agenda. I wanted to tell you a bit about Eddington Road. If you want to do that now or later, I don't mind.
I can't hear you, Reg.
Sorry?
I didn't hear you, Reg. Sorry.
Do you want to? I could say something about Eddington Road if you like.
Okay. Well, look, we've got that.
We'll leave it for later. It's up to yourself.
Well, we've got that as an agenda item a bit later on, and I'm going to ask Mike if he will lead on that, and perhaps the two of you can.
Okay, I'll come back later then.
Reg. Can you use the partnership?
Okay. So. As Brian has already mentioned, the community partnership has provided the wooden pallet trees all around the village, slightly less than they're intended to be originally, but there are wooden pallet trees around the village. And the community shop has managed to sell most of the trees that they'd bought a few years before and were potted out and got too big for display. So they've got some income back on that. Talking of trees, I don't know if you'll remember the grant that was put into the Woodland Trust for trees. We now have 107 little tiny trees. Which Joe King has been coordinating, and the first trees have gone in at the Hersey Nature Reserve. I gather that Reg put the first one in, is that right? Yeah, I think Reg put the first one in. Barry, Joe, would very much like you to do the first one probably on Sophie Watson's garden, where they're being put in for the 47 men that are on the war memorial. They're also going in places that were discussed. They're going in at Ansell's Copse, Sirius Place, and at the school. The school have got an absolutely lovely they're doing it with reception, and year one will be the tree planters. They're doing an absolutely lovely link from the beach clean that we all did, well, some of us did, from the beach clean through to recycling, through to planting trees, with the children actually reading a story, and then they're taking it home over Christmas. So those trees will go in next year in the new term, but all the other trees should be in before the end of the year, which is rather a nice thing to happen in this not so exciting year. But so we'll have all these lovely new trees in the village. There's no, as was discussed originally, there's no cost to the parish until they're 5 years old, apart from the things that have to be bought now to get them in the in the ground, which is some stakes and some little protectors. So I think you'll get a bill from Joe for those, but that was already agreed that would happen. And the only other thing that would, obviously there's no Father Christmas, which the partnership would normally organise, sadly, at this time of the year, and the family carols are probably not going to happen. It's just the paperwork to organise an outside carol service turns out to be really rather overwhelming, so, which is a shame, but never mind, next year perhaps.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. And I'd like to just echo that. The parish looks lovely with those trees. I know Rob's done quite a lot of work there, hasn't he? And Lynn, and, you know, it looks really, really nice.
Yeah.
What's the next one? Oh, Seagrove Pavilion Trust. That's me. Well, I haven't really got anything to say because we all know what's been happening. So, Nettleston Residents Association. Who's doing that? Trish?
Can I just ask on the Pavilion Trust, what are we doing about Mr. Grillo and his constant...
I think there's communication between the Isle of Wight Council and himself.
Yes, the Isle of Wight Council have actually confirmed to him that is their ground, and they are actually going to put some kickboards and other stuff up for him to reinforce his fence.
Lovely, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Trish.
Yeah, it was just a quick one. Reg mentioned Eddington Road. I'm not quite sure whether I get a chance to speak later. I mean, the association, resident association, are very concerned, remain very concerned about the process with regard to Eddington Road. The fact that it was actually put out for tender without any consultation whatsoever, and that it is for, you know, about 80 houses. There was a lot of debate last time about a developer going into partnership with Vectus. All that means, as far as the residents are concerned, is that that means that some of the houses, the affordable housing quota, will be done by Vectus. I thought last time, and I may be wrong, but I thought there was a resolution that even the parish council was going to object to the fact that the Isle of Wight council had done this, gone out for tender, that is, with presumably planning permission as an automatic. And I'm not sure whether that happened or not, but I just want to make sure that it's registered that the Residents Association are not happy with the Isle of Wight council's process.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Trish. And we'll probably go further into that item number 10. I welcome.
Right. We've all had the circulars. There's two items of interest. There was one of the main items for me was there's a report on the decline in rural public transport. And they're releasing a report, which is called Reversing the Decline. Just with regards the transport on the Isle of Wight, it's something we should possibly all try to read. It's they're forever going on about getting us back on push bikes and various things. So I feel, particularly for the older people that haven't got vehicles and their own transport, that's quite an important item. So something to look at. The one that I feel is very, very important that's come out, they had a presentation on the planning white paper. And it's a very hefty, Tommy. And I can't lie, I haven't had the chance to read a fraction of it yet. But I feel it's very important that we should all try to make time to read and understand it. Because obviously it's going to have a big impact upon all residents on the island. You know, it's at the end of it, there's an interesting bit at the end of it, which I caught was, it's the only people who welcome this, it was who welcome the changes are the developers. The planners and CPRE recognise some good points, but they're sceptical about the whole document. That's how I feel about it. And I just feel that's something we need to look at very closely with all what's going on. From my walk, that's it. I believe there's a meeting with Bob Seeley this coming Wednesday. So if anyone can make it, I think it's Wednesday, 6 o'clock. That's it for now.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Right, anything others? Any other reports? So, next item on the agenda is to discuss pet stores. Anybody like to start us off? Is that you, Mike? No, no.
Can I just add one thing I would say is when we were asked last month to put this on, since then, and I've checked again today, still no planning application has come in to ask to do anything to the roadside inn. So they haven't taken it, QuestMap or whoever, have not taken any further through planning yet. Doesn't mean other things aren't going on, but I just thought that's something worth knowing. And literally, as of today still, they still haven't submitted anything. So it's that when, who knows when that's going to come. So,
Dave?
I've just I received an email from Kevin Berry. I don't know how many of us have had this, but it's he's asked one of us. Did you get that, Sally?
Yeah, I was going to make that point. So you got.
Would you like to read that, Sally? Feel free. Go on, you carry on with that one.
I don't think I printed it off. Wait a minute. Right, from Kevin, which came in this morning. I can't make the parish council meeting tonight, but as Vic Stores is on the agenda, on my behalf, could you ask whether QuestMap are able to convert the roadside into a convenience store without change of use, as they won their appeal? So, due to the statement issued by Councillor Barry in social media, I'm able to further add to the update I gave you, as Linda and Charles's plans have now been revealed, which at the time they didn't want. I can assure the council that further to the update on the roadside meeting between Charles, Linda, QuestMap and the Cooperative Society, the plans revealed in Councillor Barry's statement were discussed at the meeting in more detail, and Charles and Linda were, in comma, very happy, close bracket, with the answers to the questions they received and the assurance of further dialogue as the development commences. Now, this is back to Kevin's own comment. All I would say, if QuestMap have the right to convert the building to a convenience store, is that of all the operators, the Cooperative Society would be the best. As, like the Seaview Community Shop, it is owned by its customers as members. They also give their profits by way of a dividend and community fund for local projects. The Southern Co-op have recently made a donation from their fund to our Nettleston and Seaview shed. The alternative would be one of the big four multiples who all operate on the island, and I don't think they fit our community desires, despite my Tesco background. The other aspect is that Linda and Charles ought to be consulted first to make sure they support any action that the parish council might wish to make. And Kevin says he may be able to join our meeting towards the end if we wanted to quiz him any further.
Okay, in that case, then, can I just make a proposal that if he does come near the end, we give him 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Is that okay? If he's got something to contribute, it'd be useful.
Right. Could I just come in and say there that with regards to planning permission, QuestMap don't actually need planning permission because they've been given QuestMap were given permission to change the use of the roadside to reach our appeal. So that means that they can open a shop without getting any further planning permission for that use. If, on the other hand, the community had been successful in getting it as a community pub, we would have had to get planning permission to change the use back. That's the situation as it is at the moment. So the co-op don't need any permission to continue. And I don't quite know what we can do.
It's already been a shop, hasn't it? It was that Bits and Bobs shop, wasn't it? Yeah. That sold toilet seats in the window and everything. Do you remember?
Didn't sell a single thing.
Nobody went in, did they? I don't think. No. But and I think that was when it was changed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You want to talk, Reg?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I lost you for a minute there, so I missed the start of it. That's right, they have got planning for retail, but they haven't got planning permission to extend it.
No, that's wrong.
And if it's going to be a co-op, they'll be reliant on the size of the car park to serve it. Otherwise, it just wouldn't work up there. The co-op, they would expect would do twice as much as what Bix does for it to be viable, I would think. Hundreds of millions doing the place up as a co-op, if they aren't going to make more than what Bix are making now. Bix seem to think that they're at their maximum turnover, so, but they're expecting to make more than that. They certainly won't be able to make a co-op go and have Bix go. You know what I mean? There's not enough custom there to have two, have a successful co-op and a successful Bix like we're enjoying now. There is a problem with the traffic there. That came out in the various applications they've had. If it had been if they were starting off new as a pub, Highland Roads and the Highway Authority would be objecting because it hasn't got the visibility displays. But because it was existing as a pub, it was all right. And it was okay, although they did raise concerns in the various planning applications. And I've got copies of all the reports if anybody would really like to go into it, because of the visibility displays. So it ain't as simple for the co-op as what they think. I think as a community, if you speak to everybody, and the parish council is part of that community, that most people are quite happy with Vix, who's been there for three generations and intends to carry it on, that we should support Vix and object to anything the co-op wants to do. We all know it was never really retail. Like Diana says, they had toilet seats in the window. They weren't even new toilet seats. It was just to get over the plan. They don't care about anybody up there. They don't care about our community. And I don't think we should give them an easy ride. I haven't up to now, and I should carry on doing what I can to have a pub back there or a proper community-based pub or whatever you like to think. Yeah. Even if they sell, to the co-op, then they've got 14... They've got to tell the Isle of Wight Council by law and give the people, in this case it's the Residents Association, 14 days to express an interest. And then whoever expresses that interest, whether it's a parish council or the residents, will have 6 months to come up with a plan. Unfortunately, if they do come up with the money, Questmap don't have to sell it, but it will hold them up for 6 months. Now, you imagine in that time, the community, an item of community value like that, an asset, the publicity that the co-op would incur over that, coming into a village, a small little village, and wrecking a business and taking away the pub. Mm. Why would the co-op want to do that? It don't make sense, does it? I don't think, whatever you do, whatever you decide, I hope it's do whatever you can to thwart these people from turning up in our village, destroying the whole. We all used it at various times. It was a really nice little pub. Mm. And I think we should still stand by it. They're open. They'll make such a mess of it. And say, oh, well, it would be better if it'd be better as houses. It wouldn't. Look what they've done to the trees. They chopped them half dead and walked away from it. Now they say to the people who live next door to me, they promised them, take all the way the trees and put your nice fence up through there. Now they say they want to, they'd love to finish it, but they can't get a digger from anywhere. The Isle of Wight is full of diggers. Maybe I could go out of here tomorrow and get a digger. That's the thing. They just walked away and just left it as a wreck. I'm hoping that you'll stand by what you like you have done the whole way.
What can we do before they actually put an application in?
There's nothing really. If the parish council was to raise their concerns with the co-op, that might make the co-op do we want to get involved. They just close the co-op in Somerset Road. Really, when you think about it, is the co-op really going to go there?
Keep its shareholders happy.
Well, how would it keep them happy if they're losing money?
Well, only
because they reckon they're going to spend £700,000 on this extension.
If you look at the location of it, though, it's quite strategic for a number of villages in the part, in this part of East Wight. If you live in St Helens, Bembridge, Seaview, Nettleston, and maybe even Brading, you go past, don't you? You go through Eddington Road, you use it. So, but, you know, it's got quite a big footfall.
So is Tesco's.
Of course.
And so is
Bembridge.
If you live in Bembridge, why would you drive it all round?
They've got a co-op in
Bembridge.
They've got
a co-op, yeah,
they've got two co-ops. Why would you want to come from St Helens?
Well, you wouldn't necessarily want to come, but if you were going home, you could pop in on your way home. You could pop into Vix on your way home. I'm not saying I'm for it. Why they might be interested in that.
But when you think of Vix, you just pull up outside, jump in, get your thing. If there's a co-op, you've got to manoeuvre yourself into their car park, unless, because they'd have to put yellow lines all the way along the green and have a pedestrian crossing. That's what Island Roads has pointed out in his other applications. I've spoken to them. They said, we would recommend a crossing opposite. The way of getting, because there's no pavement outside. And all them kids coming from school, when Victor's closed, they're going to cross that busy road to get the streets to get to places.
All right, anybody else want to say something on that for a minute?
Yes, I do.
Roy, then Mike.
I spoke to Charles the other day, and I asked him his feelings, and he wants to stay there. So I said to him, well, let's get another petition up. He said, well, we did the petition 5 years ago. It didn't do us any good. I said, it wouldn't do us any harm to do another one, because, you know, you've got people coming in out of your shop. You put a book down there and start another petition. At least you've got something to fight with. And like everybody else says, oh, a new co-op, people will come from everywhere. They won't. They won't come. They'll go where they've always gone before. Because Vix is in and out, and it's easy. It's a convenience store. It'd be more convenient than a co-op. And the co-op aren't going to take any more money because there's only the same amount of people. So if the same amount of people go in there as go in Vix, they're not going to be any better off. And I think basically perhaps another crack at a petition might help. You've got something in your hand then. It's only the same as taking someone else's house away from them, like taking West Acres farm away from them. They're taking this away from Vix. Shall we give it another chance with a petition and the parish council back it up and set it forward?
I don't think it's a bad idea, but I think maybe we should wait a little while when both villages are full up with danger zones. But more people. Well, once Christmas is gone, they'll all be gone, won't they?
I disagree with you, Barry, there, because they're always here. All them people with second homes care more about Vix and the community shop and all the harm that the co-op would do. They care about it as much as anybody who lives there.
I know what you mean. I know they hold it very dear. I just wanted the numbers here, that was all.
You've also got to consider, if the co-op come in there, what's going to happen to the community shop that we've set up? That is another thing that's going to suffer, because it would. Yeah. Because they would do everything the same. Papers, they might even do posts, might even do banking, you don't know.
Yeah. So can I just check, is it we'd like to reach out to Charles and Lindsay and ask them if they'd like us to back a petition? Because obviously it's got, you know, don't do anything that upsets them, I wouldn't have thought. But is that what you'd like? Because that's just something I'm quite happy to approach them and just say to them, would they like us to do that and find out from them?
Mike?
I mean, I think it's important that Brian continues the communication, because it's a long-standing community. And then communicate with Reg, our Isle of Wight councillor, for when planning comes in. And we are all prepared, knowing that as soon as we get something in black and white from the existing owners, and the intention of planning, There's a lot we can't do till that time, but at least we're ahead of the game. Reg has got enough, as you say, information already on the track record of the building. And then from that, immediately get it in writing from our clerk to the appropriate parties.
What I would say is, like with the footbridge last year, which I think was about a year ago, is if they want us to do it, I'm very happy to create an online one for them, which is how a lot of people sign these things now. And then that's not restricted to just whoever is physically here. Obviously, one in the shop is restricted, but they can do one in the shop, and that will be great, and people will sign it when they go in. But if I create one on change.org, they go viral and they go off everywhere. So, and if they want it, I'm happy to make it for them. It's very simple for me to do things like that. And I did it last year with the footbridge, and that took off quite well as well. So it just depends. I'm happy to do that if they want us to do it. If that's what the council members would like, I'm happy.
Yeah. If you'd like to do this, Brian, and then rather than make it an agenda item for the next meeting, you could tell us what's happened in your reports, would you?
Yeah.
Right.
So if you wanted to, you could pass a resolution now for the clerk to approach Vix to ask them if they'd like, if they would like us to work on a petition with them, and then I will reach out to them and see if they want us to.
I saw something Saturday morning, and he said he would like that to happen.
Yeah.
Great.
Would they like to propose that?
I'm happy to propose that.
Second.
Can I ask Brian?
Yeah.
Can you link an online petition with a written petition?
Now, that's interesting. I'd need to look into that. But what you can do is you can always tally them all up as well. So when you, because at some point you want to present it to someone.
Yes.
So you can present it electronically, and I can set like a threshold. So I can say, every time we get 100 votes, send this to QuestMap. 100 votes. Every time we get 100 back signatures, you send it to QuestMap and Co-op and the Isle of Wight Planning Department, and it irritates everyone. It's brilliant. So every time we get an extra 100, they get the petition again. Then when it gets to 200, they get it again. And they get fed up. It keeps coming into their inbox. And actually, if you send it to Isle of Wight Council, a certain number of votes as a threshold, I can't remember what it is, they have to discuss it at full council. So it just depends how, who you're going to
address. Let's start it and get on with it.
Can I ask, have we written to the co-op yet?
I did, yeah.
We discussed this, and we have written to the co-op saying that we want, what did we write? Saying we want to know what's happening, or we don't want anything to happen.
To ask them what was happening. Yeah, said we, we'd heard that potentially they were moving into the village. Could they explain what their intentions are as far as the roadside inn are concerned? That's what I wrote to our acquisitions team. Yeah.
And have we had a response?
No.
So could we follow that up with that we have had no response? And we'd like you to know that we are not in favour of this at all. I mean, can we write a letter along those lines?
If you like, that's another proposal. We can actually write, because before it's just a neutral request for information. You could propose that I send a letter that actually tells them that you will not back anything.
Think we should do that. Is there any reason not to do that?
I think it's a good idea.
Very good. Okay. So you're proposing that, Councillor Hardy?
Yes.
That's a busy second. Have a vote then.
Thank you.
Right.
We've got a couple of actions along the lines of it's a valued community asset.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We intend to protect it.
Yeah.
Right. Next one. Seaview Hotel public toilets. Sally.
Well, I tried to find the legal paperwork in the bowels of Isle of Wight Council with nobody working there that proves, as Reg kindly sort of articulated to us at our last meeting, that they should have it open pretty much every day of the year except for around Christmas or for essential maintenance. I'm waiting, but looks like Reg might have something more to say on this.
Well, I looked at, going back, I've actually seen the agreement that it's not a planning issue and plan enforcement. There was a planning side to it when they got permission to build the knockdown toilets and build it over before they signed the lease, because it's not freehold, the toilet. The land that was where the toilets are now is not freehold. That's the lease to them in perpetuity. And that was signed off by the executive in June 2004. It's easy to find. If you go on the Ollywhite Council website and look for archived meetings and minutes, you can find it. It's in, I think there's, when the good old Lib Dems ran it, they used to have more than a monthly meeting of the executive. And there was, I think there's three meetings in that month. And one of them, I can't remember off the top of my head which one, was the one that decided on the lease to the CBO Tower. And in part, in this, this is what went to the executive. It says, free and unrestricted use by members of the public between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week for a minimum of 360 days a year. The facilities being closed between the 22nd and 28th of December. And they had to put that, they paid £30,000 to the council as part of for the leasehold. Then it goes on to say, if it's not, they've got to build it. If they decide not to do that, they've got to build a set of toilets within the centre of Seaview to make up for it and all the rest of it. But if you go online, you'll see all the details.
So do you know, Reg, then, who we contact?
That, you see, then, although it was agreed in 2004, the agreement with the CDU Hotel wasn't signed, and I've seen this, I used to have a copy of it, I went to the ASAP looking for it, wasn't signed until 2008, for some reason. Perhaps they were busy or whatever. But the lease that they actually signed, the legal agreement, it's not the 106 agreement, anything like that. It's a legal agreement between the CVO Hotel and the people who own and the Isle of Wight Council. It's slightly different to what's in the, what went through the executive, but not that much. It's still, they still, in the agreement, it says if they got major works, or something, they can close for 10 days. On top of that, 360, which is fair enough when you think about it. I mean, if they had burst pipes or they want to redecorate and all that, they should be allowed to stop, shouldn't they? That's fair enough. But there's no way that they can stop completely. And somebody from the Isle of Wight Council should be telling them to make other provision, it's my opinion, other provision or pay the forfeitures.
So do you have an idea, Reg, who that is we need to contact?
Well, I think you need to speak to Justin Thorne. I've tried to get hold of him all this week and I can't get hold of him. Justin Thorne or Ben Guard. They're the two legal boys in there. Either ones of them. They should be able to give you, as last time this came up, a few years back now, I got a copy of the agreement. I can't see why they should have any trouble finding it for you. But they ought to be working on it now. So that's, I should keep chasing it up this week to find out why they haven't done something about it, because that was the whole idea of it, that we'd have good toilets, well maintained, well policed, and we have, haven't we? But since 2004, I think they've been a success, personally.
Can I bring Mike in? He's jumping up and down here.
I mean, as we know, the old toilets was part, you know, when the Seaview Hotel made the extension, that gave them the facility to give that service back to the community, as Reg says, appropriate to the lease that's now in situ. You know, I propose that we request the clerk to write to the legal department to assure that Seaview comply with the conditions that the business limited company agreed to. Doesn't matter which owner it is, it's the limited company that's responsible. And copy Reg in so that continue to realise that our concern as a parish council, and we, our Isle of Wight councillor, supports this. Please come back to us urgently, as it's depriving the village at a critical time, especially over the festive season.
It's a loss of amenity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would something like to propose
Yeah, well, Mike's proposed I write to the legal department of the Isle of Wight Council and ask them to then write to Seaview Hotel or the owning agent of that and ask them to get them to comply with the legal agreement that is in place.
Yeah, so we've got a seconder.
Me, I'd like to second.
Thank you.
Sorry, and then a vote, please.
Okay.
Okay. Right. The next thing is to discuss. Sorry.
Just before, I'd urge you all to take the trouble to have a look at the papers. It's very easy to find on the executive,
June 2004.
But it is. I'm not sure which. It was that I was responsible. Was me and Terry Butchers was a joint paper, and I had to declare an interest as a casual user of the Seaview Hotel.
Okay, thanks, Reg. Thanks for that. Right, next one to discuss agreeing in writing to the Isle of Wight Council regarding the Edgerton Road and. Mike's probably the most au fait with that. Mike, if you would like to lead, and Reg, if you want to jump in when you can add a bit of value.
Would it pay, if Reg has got an update from his side, would it pay for Reg to start and then I come back?
Oh, Mike, whoever knows, go on.
That might just help, will it, Reg?
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, okay.
I
can hear you.
There must be a difference between going out to tender and asking for expressions of interest. I don't know quite which is which, really, but I think it's all the same thing. But now, the Isle of Wight Council have asked the interested parties to come up with a scheme which will look at 90 units on that side. So that's what the Isle of Wight Council will want to put on that site. Now, there'll be no employment, there'll be no car parking, no parish office. So the scheme that's what they've got, the one that we've been talking about is roughly about 70 with the flats and all the rest of it. They want to put 90 units in. This is the same council, but it ain't their fault that they're pushing all these houses out. It's the government.
Yeah.
And when they get a bit of their own land, they want to maximise it to 90 units.
Outrageous.
Breakfast aren't interested in something of that scale. So I don't think they're going to bid for it. They've got 42 units that actors are doing at Branston in a site not as big as that. And it's a village, it's a community they're creating. That's what we want up there. Yeah. We don't want a ghetto with 90 units in it, separate little village stuck on the end of ours. There's Seaview has already got 171 units, 124 of them are our court sands, and there's others. Along with other sites that work out roughly, I'm not here or there, but 350 new houses in Seaview and Nettlestone. That's 13.8% rise in the size of Nettlestone in less than a year. Where is the logic to that? You've got a scheme that Vector's came out with. We've got full support of the people, parish council, everybody's in favour, and they're being railroaded into jamming 90 houses on that site. And we're not even a rural service centre. We're rural. Seaview and Nettlestone is rural. That's our registration. Our designation is rural, and I think, well, it's up to the Isle of Wight Council what they do with it. They'll get somebody in to build these houses, but will it be what the people want? I don't think so. I think it's a shame. I don't know. Mike's got anything to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, it's the officers of the Isle of Wight Council, the regeneration department, that is the one that has been dictating to and fro. I know I've spoken to the leader of the council, Isle of Wight Council, and sent copy of correspondence to the leader of the Isle of Wight Council, highlighting his meeting last January and what he was prepared to support and listen to the parish. as follow-up from last month's meeting, our clerk put a good letter together, and that's gone to Chris Ashman, who is the Director of Regeneration, under his responsibility, highlighting our concerns relating to this. So
it was our official complaint. It was an official complaint letter, yeah.
Yeah. So as long as, I presume, as yet, Brian, you still haven't had a reply?
No.
Right. So, I mean, all I'm saying is that we know what the parish will require, similar to what, i.e. units, Branston similar, in what you call a spread of everything. At this present time, until we know what the officers are trying to get control of the site, we need to be on top of it. So again, as soon as something comes out from those officers, with the support of Reg and ourselves, highlight. I've had an agreement from the leader of the council that he will come out, and therefore I'm constantly chasing him to make sure that he comes up with the promises as the councillors, rather than the officers that seem to be dictating the actual control of it. And rest assured, you know, I'm continuing to monitor, and as long as I've got your continued support on that, being communicating on a regular basis, that's all we can actually do, is highlight that we're not happy with the concerns, because these officers, in the last letter that I wrote on a freedom of information privately, I emphasised that it's been 5 years since the first inquiry. The parish were happy on a small scheme with employment for the area. The officers have tried to take it over and produce something that's not suitable to the village. What's the cost of this for us as individual ratepayers is we've lost this. This could have been, if it approved right at the beginning, we could have had houses there by now for the right format, therefore taking income into the council, but also saving money on the temporary housing side. And I've asked for what the cost is for that, the cost implication for the officers' time and outside agencies. I've had it logged that it's under the information. And as soon as I do get a reply, I will continue to update the parish. But all I'm saying at this present time, it's a case of we keep on top of it, chasing the officers to make sure that they come up and allow the parish as the one to what is suitable for this area. So I am on top of it all the time.
Can I just come in there? Because that to me is a pretty poor excuse for the present administration that's running the Isle of Wight. Nobody voted for Chris Ashwood. Nobody. None of us here voted for him. Nobody on the island voted for him. He's got no right to be telling the administration what they should be doing. You've had meetings with the leader. I was at one of them up there, and he came away and he supported what the parish council and Vector Zosen was trying to do. Chris Ashman and his cronies have got nothing to do with it. There's an old saying in local government, officers advise, members decide. And it's up to we should be telling the members to get off their asses and come out in favour of the people who put them there. This is going on all over the island. It's central government we've got to deal with all these agents. They're now maximising their money for it. And when you think of it, when they're selling it as 90 houses, and they haven't even got planning permission for 90 houses. But what are they saying to these developers? Don't worry about the planning. We'll sort that out for you later.
Yeah.
All wrong. It's wrong.
It's
why in the past the Isle of Wight Council never sold land with planning permission, as it's immoral. Mm. If someone wants to come along and take a chance, he should do it, and not just have it on it.
Reg, we don't need to be political on this. What we need to make sure is that we're in preparation for when we get a reply. That's all it is. That's all we can do at this present time. Until we get a reply from them, therefore this parish can't make sense.
I shouldn't hold your breath, Mike. Because this administration, I shouldn't hold your breath, because none of these are going to turn around. They said to me before, I sat down with them, they said, that's just the thing we want, Rich. We want to get that up. we'll get that all done before May and put in the actual. We've only built 3 houses this year. 3! That was last year. 3 houses in a whole year for local people.
It's don't worry, then I'll be lobbying.
Mike?
Okay.
All right. Reg, Mike, thanks very much. Does anybody else want to say some words?
Can we, are we going to write another letter then, as they haven't replied? Is it worth doing that? Or do we just, I mean, it keeps the pressure on, doesn't it?
I mean, I think we just diary it. We sort of say that there's a time to go of diarying it and keep them, the pressure on just, and continue having it as agenda for each month so that we know that we're on top of it.
I think we need another letter to reinforce our concerns to the council.
Yeah. Good idea. I'd propose that if we want to vote on it.
Second.
Basically, a follow up to our letter from before.
Another harassment.
We made our point.
Yeah, snapping at their heels.
On that, then?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, right. And Dave seconded it. Carried.
Broke over, yeah. Right, our next item is to discuss legal representation of the parish for any future planning applications. And this is Dave.
Right, well, this was partly the reason I didn't come in on the last discussion, because I feel what Reg has said is very, very relevant. And I don't know if people know, but with regards to Westacre Farm, Michael Lilly has appointed a solicitor, and it's been on Facebook. And has anyone seen it? The Warner Goodman report.
Oh, that's the solicitors we use. That's good. Should be a good one then, Dave. We use them.
Right. Well, there's just a few things on there, but without going into detail, because I'm not qualified to fully understand it anyway, the wording, but the bottom line is, and I must point this out, the last paragraph is conclusively, and based on our analysis, it is our view that the council should not support this application for planning permission, and they have a positive duty to dismiss it. Now, that to me seems pretty condemning. Another thing I'd just like to point out, this is under further legal requirements which the council must adhere to pursuant to administrative law. And there's just 2 paragraphs I'd like to read, just brief ones. One thing we would point out is that the sheer scale of public concern, brackets, the number of public objections, including objections from town councils, close bracket, is a strong argument of various possible ones establishing irrationality if planning permission is granted by the council. Interestingly and crucially, none of the public objections, brackets, as far as we can ascertain from the portal, close brackets, have been withdrawn, notwithstanding the developer has lodged revised plans since their initial application, which can be seen as indicative of the strength of public feeling. Now, this raises many, many concerns for me, and I think Reg hit the nail on the head on that last discussion with Eddington Road. I believe the Isle of Wight Council are just riding roughshod over all the parishes and the people. And they say, they continually say, they want to engage on a parish level and a people level. Well, we're meant to represent the people. And Roy stated that the other week in a discussion we had on planning. But it doesn't seem like that to me from where I'm sitting. And I just think we need more consultation on it. And another thing that stems to mind, without harping on too much, for an example, just before I bring up the gist of this item, we had from Bloombridge last year, and Richard Cutner, to me, I thought it was a very, very threatening letter to the parish if we didn't support the application for the Gibwell Field. And I think that's unacceptable from developers. You know, we're entitled to an opinion. It might not be an opinion that they like, but at the end of the day, we're all entitled to our opinions and our input. And I like to think, since I've been sitting on here, it seems to me that we all have a little bit of respect for each other. We all allow each other to speak and voice our opinions. And we discuss it in a sensible and a fair way. And that's all I ask. But I don't think we get that from the Isle of Wight Council and our representatives of the Isle of Wight Council. And I think Reg has made a very, very strong point. And these people need voting out because they're doing it. And it's not in the interest of the islanders. Right, now I've come to the so-called legal representation. I believe we need, as a parish, to put aside a sum of money for very things like this Warner Goodman letter that Michael Lilly has initiated. And hopefully we'll never have to use it. But I think we need to make a provision to put some funds aside and have those funds put aside just for legal representation regarding property developers and planning. It's
Dave, just to let everyone know, because I know you're at the finance working group, we had money put away for that this year and we've still got £6,000 of that from this year. And what I've done is built into the budget, there's another £6,000 for it again next year. So assuming the budget gets signed off, there'll be an effective pot of £12,000.
Well, that sounds lovely, but I'd like to try and agree amongst ourselves. Could we specifically ring-fence that for planning? Because I feel we do have a major problem with planning.
Yeah. It's not just Eddington Road. It's the old golf course as well now, isn't it? There's lots kind of on the back burner.
I do have a little problem with that. I totally agree with everything you said, Dave, and yes, we should have that money. Whether we could just ring fence it for planning, I mean, we could have some legal challenge in another manner. You know, I know a tree falls on Sophie Watson's garden, falls on somebody's head. I don't know. But, you know, that's why it's there as a contingency. But, yeah, I agree with everything you said.
No, Barry, I agree with that. I just think we need to be conscious. If the reserve runs low and we don't use it, I just don't think we should get to the end of the year and think, hold on, we've got £4,000 in the pot there. We not squander it, because it obviously wouldn't be squandered, but I think we need to try and keep something in reserve every year, and maybe if we can carry it forward, when we get major things coming forward, we've got something in the pot to fight with, you know, because it does concern everyone in the parish. Yeah. And I think the main concern for me is people don't react until it's on their doorstep. And when it's on their doorstep, they're up in arms. And I feel us sitting here are trying to do something to protect the whole of the parish. And I think that can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to let people know, this is quite a normal thing. Lots of town and parish councils do it. It's not an unusual thing to do this. So putting money aside for these sort of legal challenges is quite normal. It's within the powers of the council and that kind of thing. So,
Mike? I mean, I agree with what Dave's saying, and like with yourself, Barry, and the exact thing, the clerk within the budget that is going to be approved later, as you say, we haven't used some of this year's, but automatically, because he knows the concerns of our parish, has made sure that, you know, there is a contingency going forward each time, and presumably he will be reviewing that each year to make sure we've always got that reserve requirement.
Yeah, there are certain things that come up year after year, and after last year, and when you as, because it's the same members except for Councillor Ginnart Davis, because I don't think she'd joined yet, is the same group of members, and it is obvious what sort of things are of concern to you all representing the people here. So I've decided, well, I thought it was a good idea, and we had that discussion in the Finance Working Group last week, that this is a sort of fund that we need to keep going forward. It's like with Councillor Rivlin, she's got some interesting project ideas for things to enhance the community, so there's another pot of money for that, things like that. So it's learning what matters to you all and what you think are worth running with going forwards, because we've done it with Christmas tree stuff for a few years now, like before I came along, and then there are things that I'm helping from understanding where you're coming from and the community's coming from to keep going. So hopefully that will, as long as people are of the same mindset, that will keep going along.
Thanks, Brian. Philip, you wanted to say something. You're muted,
Philip.
You are.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you now.
Our insurances cover us, right, for some of the legal problems we have. So the fact that we may well have £6,000 ring fence specifically for what is the biggest threat to our community, which is development. I think we're covered for a lot of those other things already through our insurances. I think I can see a nod from the clerk there.
I think we've got a lot of stuff covered.
Can I just finish by saying that in his Island Vision meetings, Bob Seeley was encouraging councils to do this kind of thing, for us to actually start kicking up a fuss ourselves, because he knew that we weren't getting much help from central government or our planning department. So he encouraged us to do this, and Clark's absolutely right when he says that parish and town councils are doing this all over the country. They are, more and more, because they have to. I think, you know, it's encouraging when you see people like Michael Lilly getting such a positive result. Our association has done this as well, and it was a good kick. They had to withdraw it, and maybe those officers actually at the planning department beginning to think twice before they go and put the big boot in. We'll see. But I thoroughly support what's just been suggested.
Yeah, thank you, Philip. Where are we now? Are we okay on that?
What I'd say is you could do a motion, but also it's covered in the budget. If you approve the budget, that money's already been put aside for it. But this is a good explanation in the minutes of why it's been done.
But did we vote on that? Do we need to take a vote on it?
You can if you like, actually. It's sort of like belt and braces, but it's also in the budget as well. So
yeah,
you
I'd
can
like
have
to
a vote
on it.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
You could. Okay. So I could propose it, please.
Seconder? And in favour.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, this is to discuss and consider any issues arising from the Finance Working Group annual meeting. Brian, you got the detail of that, haven't you?
Yeah, so the obviously last week we had the meeting where I put the proposed budget to the members. If you'll just bear with me for a second, because I'm going to get the spreadsheet in front of me so I can refer to it.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to print it out.
Sorry, can I just go back to the last thing? My computer, I don't know what's wrong with it. It keeps coming in and out, cutting in and out. I do apologise. Can I abstain from that last?
Yes.
Because I'm not exactly sure. I'm not exactly sure what we were voting on. Were we voting on to ring fence it or not?
Yes, £6,000.
To ring fence for planning?
Yeah, of the legal fund, yes.
Okay, can I abstain, please?
Yeah. Hang on. Right. Okay. So, so with the budget that I put together, bearing I try to collect requirements from members throughout the course of the year, with different projects and things that come up, and obviously some statutory things that come up from time to time, and the realities of our contracts for maintaining properties, and the proposed preset for next year came out at £96,473, which is an increase from last year of just over 10%, I think about 11 or 12%. But just to let people know, that works out for a Bandy property £53.96 for the year, and that compares to a national average last year, probably up a little bit next year, of £69, and an Isle of Wight average of £90. So we're still quite a bit below the national average, and we're a long way below the Isle of Wight average. And per Bandy property, that works out at £1.04 a week for the budget that the Finance Working Group thought seemed to work. So that's what we're asking people to vote on.
Can you just remind me what it was last year?
It was 85,428. So it's 96,000 this year, 85,428 last year.
So how much more for a Bandy property is that?
It went up by 8p a week.
A day.
A week, 8p a week.
8p a week, that's right, yeah.
Eight pence a week.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing.
That's going to break the bank.
So less than 50p a month, okay.
Yeah.
management.
Is that we saved money in some areas, but then there are other things where we increased the funding. We had a finance working group. I think everyone's agreed. We probably wouldn't be seeing a jump like this again, but we did build in money this year for a neighbourhood plan, which is something that I know the chairman and the vice chairman are very keen on. So that money is going to be built in this year in the next precept to hopefully cover the neighbourhood plan, and it should cover it for the whole of its life cycle. And we won't be coming back asking for money for it year on year. So who knows, you know, depending on what your requirements are next year, or whoever chooses to be around next year, if the precept could go down again. I haven't got a crystal ball, but that could happen. So, yeah.
Thank you, Brian. Reg, you wanted to say something?
It's just that I should have brought this up when you were talking about milk. It's interesting, what percentage of that money is paying for services that are normally paid for by the Isle of Wight Council?
Excuse me, Reg, could you speak to your microphone, please?
Yeah, well, I can't hear.
Sorry, can you tell me what percentage of that goes on services that were normally provided by the Isle of Wight Council?
Good question, Reg. Well, I'll tell you now.
The reason I asked this, I was quite interested to read that. Then something like 38% of their, don't quote me on that, a big part of their budget goes on paying for things that the Isle of Wight Council normally pays for. Now, if you took that island wide, that's hundreds of thousands of pounds that the Isle of Wight Council did these services, but they didn't do them paying for them solely by putting up a precept. Most of them come from grants from central government. They come down through to the Isle of Wight Council, various grants and all sorts of things, even European money, which they then spent on all these services. As their budget shrunk, they passed all these things over to the town and parish council, which take the money directly from the people of the island, Sea View Nelson, for example. Why don't now get on to the government and say, we want some help with paying for these services? Why? Because parish councils are at cap, you could put it up if you're paying the house if you want to.
Yeah.
It's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. Look here, Reg, it's about 30%.
I think now should we bring this up? And I think the parish council, maybe just a suggestion that you ask your rep on now to look into this, because there's something askew here. You'll end up by saying, we won't be able to do these services. You will have to start closing toilets. Like your council's closing toilets. What happens when you can't bring any more money out of the local people? You're going to have to close the toilet, aren't you?
Yeah, Reg, you're having a quick look. It's not scientific, but it's about 30-odd percent.
That's a lot
of
money, isn't it? Yeah. So that's over that's £32,000. Which you're doing services, but the Isle of Wight Council didn't get that from the precept, got it from grants and from money that they were raising by car parking and things like that. Paying for all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Got none of that, have you? You can just bring it out of the local population. Just a thought.
So, is there any more explanation, Brian, of your...
Well, no, at least if anyone's got any questions, I could go through it. If not, you could propose to approve the budget tonight, and that means we'd be in plenty of time because it's a January deadline, which we could put it back another meeting if there is something of major concern, but we would have to get it assigned then because the Isle of Wight Council sort it all out in February. So we need to be done by January. So but if we get done tonight, that's great because it means we can be ahead of the curve, get our request in and hopefully get our precept agreed as soon as possible.
Well, I'm happy with it.
Yeah. Everybody else? Yeah.
So is that Dave proposing accept?
I'll propose it.
A second.
Mike, second. There's a favour. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that 6? And Becky, are you abstaining?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to look at it properly. It wouldn't print out, and I can't read things on the screen.
Thank you. Okay. That's carried, thanks.
Right, busy.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, did you see about the scooters on the green?
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing, but what we didn't really know about it. Surely we should have been involved in it in some way. I mean, I don't know about these scooters, but talking to my son who lives in Brighton, he said they use them a lot there, but they don't work going uphill. Now, how's that going to work on Nettleston, you know, in Nettleston? They don't go uphill.
No, well, the park should be at the bottom of the dip in the hill, shouldn't it?
I mean,
that's where we're going to end up.
How's this going to work? You'll go down into Seaview and then push it back.
They're also very steep hills for something like that. I'm worried about the safety aspect of them.
And on the green. I mean, it's a complete nightmare, the green, at the best of times, isn't it? Let alone with the school and all the double yellow lines that are going to be. I don't know.
It'll be a place for a lot of accidents.
Well, yeah. I think so. I mean, our OAP is going down on them to the wishing well.
Yeah.
Isn't it, really?
Obviously, as well, as I shared with you, the reason it all kicked off is because the school contacted us, because we didn't get one at first. We finally got one today, a letter, didn't we? And I don't know if you've seen it.
No, we finally got
an email today, and I shared it. But the school got theirs a week ago.
Yeah.
And, of course, the school are concerned because it's not actually like a main hub or nest or whatever they call it, but
right.
it's somewhere they can be dropped off and they'll be collected. I think if I've got this right. And bearing in mind I haven't done loads of research, so independent contractors or people who basically want to make some money drive around at night, stick them in their car and take them home and charge them, and this is how it works, and they have places to go and get them from. I don't take this as gospel. I think this is how it works.
Okay.
So it's not going to have charging points there and stuff like that, but the school are very concerned. There are scooters and stuff being parked there that the children, it's a tricky enough junction as it is, it's going to get in the way of their visibility, and it's going to stop potentially cars seeing and stuff, because there's no crossing patrol person either.
It's almost
on the zebra crossing, isn't it? I mean, you shouldn't be. You're talking about
right
somebody stopping a van to load them in overnight. I think that's dreadful. Right on the school crossing. I mean, even if it's in the middle of the night, you should have zigzag lines next to a school entrance.
Yeah.
So you can't stop.
I think the issue is twofold. I mean, I'm fully in favour of anything green and eco and all the rest of it. It just seems like a bloody stupid place to put it.
Well, indeed. And if they'd asked us, would any of us said that's a good idea?
No.
Because of the position.
Yeah.
No.
Do you not think we should need
flat surfaces like a beach area where everything is flat and you can see people coming at you?
Yeah.
We don't have that here.
The school said if they'd consulted businesses, they would have said, rather than just them being sent a letter saying, good luck, well, congratulations, you're going to have a park just across the road, they would have made an articulate defence of why that was not the right spot. But they were upset because they weren't given that chance. And I think they thought we knew something about it. Obviously, we didn't. So
no.
I just find it strange that they haven't consulted the school at all.
Or the parish.
The parish either. And we've got this information from the school. I think it's appalling.
But we had a letter. But I mean, I live on the green, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, you got the letter telling you it was going to happen,
when I got the letter, that's when I emailed you.
I think we ought to get the clerk. We need the clerk to write a letter highlighting our concerns of the points that's been raised tonight.
Yeah,
I think so. You know,
just to let you know that there's a couple of people we could write to. We've got a contact from the company themselves. Plus, obviously, it's the Isle of Wight Council led by Council Awards Infrastructure Team. I think it's them that have worked with them and picked the spots. So they're the couple of target people.
I mean, Putpool Park would be great.
Ooh,
yeah, nice. Or even on the Dubber somewhere, or you know.
Can I bring Reg in, please?
Yeah, just to add to that, they never told the Isle of Wight Council either. I found out about through my son, and I've made inquiries, and I've got a nice letter back saying that it's approved by the Isle of Wight Council, The police approved it, and so did Island Road Safety Office. No questions. But I can't get hold of Ian Warren for some reason. I was sent a nice picture of him and the leader on outside of Kent. Yeah. But when I...
Our roads and pavements are not for this sort of work.
Interestingly, in my inquiries, I spoke to somebody in the contact centre, and they reckon on PAN, it's horrendous, because people would... You've got to have a driving licence.
Yeah.
And people with driving licences are getting them out and then giving them to their kids. Mm. So the kids are riding around on PAN.
Excuse me.
Very, very interestingly as well, for anyone who's thinking of using them this Christmas, in the county alcohol. Press tonight, they reported the First Lady has been charged with drink driving on a Saturday night because she was driving it while drunk, and so she's going to end up with points and everything, well, maybe even a ban, actually, I think, drink for a license for being drunk on a scooter. So there you go.
Should have took her skateboard.
Should have done.
Right, anybody else want to say anything on that? I mean, obviously, we're going to send a letter of...
Traffic and two wheels, I think, the man he should talk to more than anybody else is Councillor Ward, because he's up and about on two wheels all the time, but he has to be very, very careful of falling off his bike because there's a pothole. Come on, I mean, scooters are on the Seaview Dover to get you to ride and back again. If you wanted to do that, do the number 8 out of business. You know, that's fine, on a flat area, not in our parish. We're too... awkward. It would be dangerous. Your first accident would be in the first day, I'll tell you that now.
Mike, yeah.
Right.
I mean, sorry. Well, he even knows like I fall off on the flat along the Dover, so yeah.
So, do you need a proposal? We're going to write to Beryl and the Isle of Wight Council, Councillor Ward's department, and to say what?
We'll say we're extremely...
Our borough isn't suitable.
Yeah.
Well,
the location.
I think we've got
a location. The Green is unsuitable. With the school...
And to ask them, why haven't they bothered to contact us in the first place?
I was going to say, we're extremely surprised not to have been consulted on this, because had we done so, we would have said we felt this was not a suitable place for various reasons. Yeah. Safety, right. School, you know, all traffic, all the things that we've mentioned.
I know you'd all happily taken part in that as well. So it's a real miss, isn't it? I shouldn't be saying that, but I just think it's brilliant, because correspondents from the
school voicing their concerns that they're not happy with it.
Yeah.
We can offer other suggestions, can't we? Down the Dover or Buckley Park or somewhere. We can say these places are way more suitable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's more suitable.
Exactly. Had we been asked if there's somewhere in your parish where you think it is suitable, we could have come up with somewhere, and it would never have been right next to a zebra crossing in the middle of Nettleston Green, would it?
Correct. You're right.
I think the other thought about them is they're silent. So actually, if you're walking, you don't know they're coming, and they come at speed, and they'll take you out.
Yeah, quite exciting, aren't they? Yeah. But there we go. Okay, well, I've got that. So that's a proposal.
Second.
Who was seconding it? Sorry.
I think that was Mike.
And a vote. Right.
Thank you.
Is it true that you can't use them on the road? You've got to use them on pavement.
You can use them on the road, but you can't use them on, like, say, you're going to Newport and going through the... what they call mini roads. They say you can use them on the roads.
Okay.
But not on a motorway sort of road.
Yeah. Not on a, yeah.
Well, I've only got one motorway, haven't I?
Yeah, anybody riding on the pavement can be in trouble with them. That's what
they do. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Or being drunk busy.
Cycle paths.
Cycle paths, I think the trial is you can use them on the cycle paths and the road, I think. So okay. I don't know. I'm not an expert on it. This has all come out of nowhere. But, I've tried to find out as much as I can, but it's been, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, guys, moving on.
Correspondence. Yeah, we haven't got lots of correspondence. I've shared it all. So I don't think nothing last minute turned up today or anything. You're all seeing before, this is back straight off the last meeting. We got notified about a new tree preservation order that's being put in place between Ferny Close Road and Priory Road. From the Isle of Wight Council, looks like they're going ahead with preserving some trees there. And we got the letter from the school, and nothing new or interesting other than the stuff that you've already seen, unfortunately. So a bit dull on that front. Thanks, Barry.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Finances then. First one to note receipts.
Yeah, so for the, I sent you the receipts so has anyone got any question on any of the receipts or payments?
No.
We haven't got any grant.
I have one. Yeah, sure. Could you talk to me about fill the truck and the allotment clearance? What's going on there?
Yeah, so basically we had to evict a couple of allotment holders, and when they left, who had two plots, he left a lot of dangerous and difficult to handle material, like broken glass, jagged metal, broken plastic, and it was just stuff that actually would, it's not stuff you could dispose of in a safe or eco-friendly, like we couldn't set fire to it, and it was a shame. I think that he wasn't very happy about going, and he deliberately left a very unpleasant mess. So the only thing I could do was actually get it professionally taken away in the end, unfortunately.
Can't we send him a bill?
No, well we have evicted him, and he has gone, but I don't think he's going to have any money, Dave, if we did send him a bill. So
he just won't get his deposit back.
I was going to say, his deposit. No,
he's definitely not getting his deposit back. No, it was £50 of that is his deposit, but it goes against everything that the allotment's been trying to do for ages. But unfortunately, on this occasion, it's the first time I've seen someone leave in bad faith and what they've done. Everybody else leaves you normally in a position where you can maybe have a bit of wood that you can recycle or burn or something like that. And so I know. It was just one of those things where I really couldn't see any other way of dealing with it, unfortunately.
But
and
can
it,
I just ask, as a member of the allotment subcommittee,
yes.
I don't know if there was capacity in the skip or the clearance. It would have been quite nice to know, because the rest of us allotment holders couldn't possibly benefit from that opportunity.
No, genuinely, it was two full trucks.
Okay.
It was two, and they were absolutely full, because they came and did an assessment, because it was one of the things on my mind. So, oh, well, if we're going to get them in there, we might as well try and share it out. But unfortunately, there was no capacity, and they were right, because I was there when they did it. They did a very good job, I should say. It took them quite a long time as well. I agree. It would have been really great to have shared that round, because in a way, we've given a service to somebody who wasn't a good member of the community that none of you good members have been able to benefit from. It sort of feels wrong. And at the time, I was doing it through gritted teeth. But hopefully we've got nice, productive members of the community left now. So, yeah.
Brian, on that, yeah. I know what you're saying, and sometimes, you know, you can't get blood out of stone, but should we just not invoice him, show him that, you know,
In our rules, what it is, we keep his deposit, and we have. Okay. We've kept his £50, so, you know, that's the way it works.
So as long as he knows we're not happy with his, you know, that's the important part.
Oh, no, he's very, everything's extremely unhappy, Mike, don't you worry, yeah.
Good.
Everything,
good.
Yeah. Okay. Back with the voice. In fact, I'm never going to talk to him again, so there we go. He's blocked from my phone, so there you go. So, yeah.
No, that sounds
very, 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 very pleasant chap. Very pleasant chap, right. Yes. So, yeah, good question, Sally. That's what it's about, and it was a very exceptional, hopefully exceptional, or I don't think I want to carry on working with the allotment, so hopefully an exceptional instance, that one.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is so nice. Everyone else is very nice, and hopefully what it's now allowed us, we're going to have four very nice, good plots to go into circulation. We've got a waiting list of half a dozen people, so it'd be nice to offer some good, keen people with a good attitude the chance to have some really nice plots and keep up the nice, positive vibe of the allotment, hopefully.
Actually, Brian, you've just given me an idea. Perhaps when we next have an opportunity, we might speak soon. So Sue, by the way, is the chairman of the allotments.
Yeah.
Whether a potential allotment holder should be sort of interviewed.
Yeah, you could actually. You could. That is.
I'm going to offer them to four nice people.
Yeah.
As if they ain't nice people.
Yeah, no. This is a really, really good point, actually. Yeah, it could be. It could even be. It becomes part of the process. Is that at least a couple of committee members or something gets to meet them, like Sally's a committee member. So it could be like Sally and Sue, like however formally you want to do it. Yeah, that could be quite. Yeah, we could. That's definitely something we could think about. Yeah,
and you request a reference.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a reference. Actually, we'll ask them for £200 deposit rather than £25 a plot, because that way it will come and fill the truck. Yeah.
The other thought I'd like to share is wondering whether you should offer new allotments to existing allotment holders first, in case they're in nice positions and people would be happy to move.
Yes. Now this is the thing.
Brian, Sally, it's always been the case in the past. I've had allotment day now. A long time, and it's always the case that if you've got a waiting list, you don't do that. If you haven't got a waiting list and somebody wants to take on an extra plot next door to them, then fair play.
Yeah, that seems to be the custom and practice that I've been told about to date. And the other thing is as well, we don't seem to ever let people have more than two plots. Sometimes people have got two half, like a plot and two half plots, because I think they count a full plot when you get to about eight rods or something like that. It's very complicated to me, to be honest, as I'm not an allotment person and things like that, but it is good. But you're right, Sally, it is something actually it would be nice to only ever give the plots to people with a good proven track record. But from what I understand, the custom practice has always been to try and introduce new people to give them a chance to come onto the allotment. But it doesn't mean they'll take them on.
No, I didn't mean that, you know, we took extra. It's just if you're gardening a plot that isn't so good, if you've got an opportunity to leave yours and jump to one that you deem is in a better position, then you have that opportunity.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't take my word for it. I don't know anything about it. I just like what they had. They might, for all I know, they've got terrible autograph. I don't know, but yeah, that's a good point. No, and these are all the considerations that sort of like.
Maybe it needs to be discussed at the next allotment committee meeting.
The next allotment committee meeting, yeah. Fair enough. Thank you. That was good. Any other questions? No, so we've got to that. There were no grants applications this month. So had anyone got any questions about the summary, the monthly summary of figures?
No.
Okie dokie. Well, that's the end of the finance section then. Thank you, Barry.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Anybody got any other information or any other questions? Rebecca?
I've just got some information. Two things. One is that the community shop received an award from the High Sheriff last week for its commitment to the community. And there's a huge picture in the Isle of Wight server. And the second thing is that does everybody know that the shops in the village are going to be open a bit later tomorrow evening for shopping?
Okay.
Late night shopping evening in the village.
Okay, guys, can I take you as you appear on the screen so everybody gets fair? So, Dave, you're next.
Just a quick one. If anyone could consider who would like to be on the neighbourhood plan working group, because I'll be bringing that up at January's meeting, if we can get that moving. So that'll be something now I've got to look forward to start putting in place from the start of the year.
Yeah. Well, that's two of us so far, Dave.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busy.
No, I'm good.
Di?
No, nothing from me.
Mike?
No, thank you.
Sally?
I've been approached by Citizens Advice. They're operating across the island and they're needing volunteers who are called Advice First Aid Volunteers. And it's not first aid in the conventional medical sense. It's people that are willing to be trained by Citizens Advice and be part of a team that can respond to queries in their community. So they'd be like a first point of call. So I don't know if that's something I should circulate round to people.
Yeah, Sally, and if you've got a link, I could put that on our website if you liked.
Yeah, thank you. I fed back that I thought the title was misleading.
Yeah.
So the actual volunteer role looks quite interesting. Some people might be keen on doing that.
Thank you, Sally. Roy?
Yes. I called in the bank house on the high street today to see what development they were doing. I told you that they are going to reinstate everything that was there before. I asked them if they would send us a letter to the council about what they're doing, just to let, keep us aware of this. Yeah. And I think anything with a listed building, I think we should be made aware of how and what's going to be happening when they finish and clear a site, because that is what worries everybody. That site is protected all the way around, so you can't see what's going on. All you know, there's some scaffolding there, there's a skip in there, there's a lot of dangerous things and tools, and they needed that for insurance. But they have assured me that they will reinstate it to its original. I hope they do. But in the meantime, I have asked from a letter to us telling us what will happen at the end of the contract.
Yeah. Well, the first I knew about it is when Malcolm Reed's wife phoned me and said that something was going on. There was diggers and all sorts of things in there. And she'd taken some photographs, which she also shared. So I phoned Reg, and then that's where we are now. Reg stopped the ball rolling, really.
I think it was you who told me.
I was.
You see all these things, because it makes sense now. All these big metal walls you see, it's for insurance purposes everywhere. Right, yeah, because it's the same at the Mermaid, isn't it, where they're doing the EcoPods. They've put all that up, but again, there's all diggers and plant on site. And I suppose it's to stop people...
The builder has to have insurance against that.
Okay.
After Roy's comments last month, I went for a walk down there. I see the hoarding up in there, and I actually looked over the hoarding, Roy, and I see something propped up inside, which raised alarm bells because none of us was aware of the planning.
But
I emailed Ollie Bolter.
Planning was done a long time ago, Dave.
Yeah, well, I emailed Ollie Bolter that day, and I must say to him, in fairness, I had a very, very quick response. And it was followed up. And then I heard after that, I'd heard that you had actually visited the site as well. So I haven't chased it since then.
I'd also like to say that the neighbour is very hot and will make sure that it's, you know, restored to its former glory.
Yeah. Well, that's what we've got to try and enforce then, Sally, haven't we?
Yeah.
Right.
And they won't be able to do that with the garden, which is a huge shame.
Mm. Well, they may, you know, I mean, Cromwell Cottage on the front of the Dover next to the old fort. I didn't think they would get that back to its original state, but they did, and it's a neat job. So let's give the builder a chance in this case. Mm. Let's see what she comes up with.
Have I missed anybody?
Her name is Sarah from MCM.
Have I missed anybody, eh? Oh, no. Me. I haven't got it. Right, everyone, thank you very much.
Thank you, Barry.
Sorry, what's the date of that late night? Rebecca, remind me.
It's tomorrow evening.
I don't need the date, do I? Okay.
Tomorrow evening.
8 o'clock, is it?
I think till 7. I think everybody's going to be open till 7.
Okay, I'll try to look down.
Yeah, great.
Well, thank you, everyone, and see you next time.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Thanks very much.
Bye.